Welcome to the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And our Beyond the Music podcast gives you a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today in the studio, we have pianist and composer Shoshana Michel. Shoshana, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Thank you so much for being on this. You know, I consider you one of the hardest working female pianists out there. So,
we have to do that nowadays to keep with this day and age of technology. You have to work really hard. It's not as easy as it seems.
No kidding. So I'm sure our listeners will want to learn more about you. So let's get started at the beginning. Shoshana, how did you get started in music?
Well, this is interesting. There was a door-to-door salesman came to our door, and he was selling music lessons for a local music store and music studio, and there were accordion lessons. So my parents signed me up. And I started on accordion, and I did that for a short while, and then they started me on piano.
Wow.
After that. So I played the accordion as well, and I still play the accordion as well. But I didn't have a piano right away. My parents couldn't afford a piano, and they were looking for a piano, so we would close my accordion up and strap it up and put it on its side so there's no sound coming out of it, and I'd practice my piano lessons on my folded up accordion.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, so I didn't know any better. I was 7 years old at the time, and until we got a piano. So,
and look at all those octaves you gained with a piano.
Yes, I did.
When you were young and at that age, did you ever figure that you would be a pianist?
Oh, no.
No, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I don't remember if I thought anything. I think when I was growing up, when I was in high school, I think at one point I wanted to be a flight attendant or a stewardess, as they call them back then. That was short-lived,
right?
And I never did anything on that. But I don't think I really thought about what I wanted to do, and I definitely didn't think about being a musician when I was growing. I don't think so.
Okay, understandable. So, flight attendant based out of the New York area, correct?
No, I live in California.
Oh, serious? I didn't know that.
I grew up in Southern California. So, I remember actually having to do some sort of a research project of what do you want to be. I remember being in high school. So, I remember having to go down to the airport to interview a stewardess to ask, you know, some questions or whatever for that project. But I had been playing piano for choir when I was in high school. Even before that, when I was in elementary school, I was playing for whatever came up.
Oh, no kidding. Now you had accordion lessons, but did you transition into piano lessons?
So what happened, I did them both. I don't know why my parents gave me both, but I did them both. And I know they're very similar with the piano keyboard the accordion keyboard is the same as the piano keyboard, just shorter. And I did them both. I even was in an accordion band, and I even did some competition because that's what they did at the accordion studio that I was in later. And so I competed and that type of a thing. And so I did accordion all the way up to graduating in high school.
No kidding. Wow. And you still play to this day, you said?
Well, what happened is I do when I have the time, which is very rare. I don't have the time to do everything I want to do, unfortunately. About the time I graduated high school, I was already working professionally as a pianist. So I dropped the accordion because I was making money on the piano. The piano was more fun at that point.
No kidding.
And so I stopped the accordion and didn't really touch the accordion maybe once, but didn't touch the accordion until about 5 years ago.
Wow.
And so we're talking 40-something years, you know, it's a long time. And I picked it up and I remembered, and for the most part, and started playing. I played with a friend of mine that plays the violin. And I love gypsy jazz, and I would love to learn how to do that on the accordion. I just don't have the time.
Yeah, no kidding. It's hard. You have a schedule, man. You are working. You burn the midnight oil. I know that for a fact.
I do.
No kidding. Now, let's back up just a minute. You said in high school and stuff, you already had paying
gigs.
Right.
So what happened is the movie called The Sting came out, and ragtime got very popular. And I had learned the piece Maple Leaf Rag anyway, for a friend of mine gave me the music. Mm-hmm. And so I was like probably in 11th grade at the time. And I kind of had to sidetrack a little bit because of my accordion group I was in. To make a long story short, I learned how to play the 4-string plectrum banjo. And just long enough for me to learn the pieces. And then with the music that I learned on the banjo, I would play it on the piano. I learned how to play chords in my left hand all by myself. And I listened to a lot of different things. At that time, the movie The Sting came out. So ragtime was very popular. Mm-hmm. So I did that all. I've always been sort of enterprising. And I put it all together. And my brother played the 4-string tenor banjo. And we got a job at a pizza parlor playing together. But that was the thing at that time when the movie The Sting came out, the pizza parlors were filling up with pianos and piano and banjo.
Absolutely. So, yes, we had a pizza parlor in our hometown.
Yeah, and it was fun. So I was like 17. I was a senior in high school, and I was making, I don't know, $6-7 an hour, which was a lot for back then.
Right.
And then after that, I kept playing. I played Shakey's Pizza Parlor, for those that know Shakey's Pizza Parlor. Mm-hmm. And then I got a job at Knott's Berry Farm when I was 18.
No kidding. Were you a pianist there?
I played ragtime piano, yeah.
Oh, how cool is that? Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had a buddy that I used to book long ago, pianist named Jim Hessian, who worked at Disney. Yeah, what a monster he was. Yeah. So you had to be a darn good player to be able to play. You know, where you
did. I just did what I wanted to do. I don't know how good, but there were, I think, three different ragtime pianists there, but like they kind of just like threw it all together. I mean, that's what I knew how to do. So
wow.
I was like the only, in my opinion, I was the only person that really knew what they were doing there. And I also played for the show. They had shows they put together, and I'd also play the shows there too. So that was just like so fun to do. That was just really, really fun. Especially as an 18, it was like a month before my 19th birthday.
Yeah.
So that was just like the best thing in the world at that time.
Totally. Now let's transition just a little bit. How do you go from being a ragtime player to having all this peaceful, calm music that you have now?
Well, when I was teaching piano, like a lot, I was teaching piano and I was in my 30s, and I had a student. I'm trying to remember the story. I had a student that really liked New Age piano. So she would bring me cassette tapes of these different people that played New Age piano, and I'd listen to it, and I really, really liked it. And I decided that for her, and for her birthday, I was going to compose a piece for her in that style. Well, I didn't really listen to anything other than that. There's a station, used to be a station. I guess the station's still there, but it's not New Age anymore. It was called The Wave in California.
94.7.
The Wave. Exactly.
Yes.
At that time, it was New Age. It's not that anymore. It was all New Age music. So I listened to that in the car, and I listened to that. I didn't have a lot, but I was influenced. And I worked at a music store, so I was able to get the music. So I knew David Lanz and Jim Chappelle and Susan Chani, and I knew all that. And so I wrote this piece called Eleanor's Song. This is for Eleanor, and she changed it to Heather Roses the Moonlight. And I composed it, and it was very shortly after I composed that piece that I just didn't compose anymore. And I think subconsciously I felt that I couldn't compose, or it wasn't what I wanted to hear. I don't know, there's some subconscious stuff going on. Also, at that same time, I was also working lunchtime shifts at a shopping mall called the Galleria at South Bay, which is a Redondo Beach.
Sure.
And I played lunchtime there 5 days a week. And I played some of the new age music. And I also played elevator music. I played basically. So I played show tunes and just really some fun stuff. And I would take lead sheets and I would just the right hand and I would improvise the left hand. I was always putting things together on my own. And then I left the job and moved away to New York. And then I just dropped the whole thing. Just completely.
You dropped playing altogether?
I kind of did. I got married and I kind of dropped and I was teaching more. And I just kind of dropped it, which was, it was a difficult thing. I didn't realize how difficult and how much music had really made a difference in my life until I kind of dropped it.
Yeah, but marriage and kids will do that. Your priorities change.
Marriage and kids will do that, yeah. And it wasn't until I started playing some Jewish music that wasn't music people think it's music I grew up with. This is not music I grew up with. It's music I've heard that I was now being surrounded with that I really resonated with. And I just took the music and, again, the right hand, and I knew what to do with my left hand, and just kind of put stuff together. And I got such great response from it, which really blew me away, because I just like, okay, put the right hand, left hand together, that's it. I didn't really think much about it. And I got such great response that I went and I put a video up on YouTube and getting, again, good response. And I always like to market myself. So I decided to put together an album of this music. So that's what I did. I arranged these Jewish pieces. And I started listening to, again, the New Age music again. And I couldn't compose. I mean, I adamantly, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't compose. And if somebody would call me a composer, I would say, oh, I'm not a composer, because I wasn't. And I would be very...
What was the block?
You know, I don't know. I think the block was that someone must have said something, or in my head, because it, the one piece I did compose that didn't sound what I thought it was supposed to sound like, I just said, I can't do it. And I couldn't. That was it. So I listened to, so I started doing the Jewish music, and it was, and they're not Jewish folk songs. They're songs of Eastern European origin. And I got that on a couple of the piano streaming stations. And then I heard, I became friends with a pianist through Facebook called Thad Fisella. And just very, very nice person, very talented, and just one of
he's a great pianist.
One of our artists in the River of Calm, and I was so influenced by his music. And this is before I ever heard of David Nevue or anybody else. I just knew of Thad's music, and so I listened to his and other music. And then when I started hearing my music on these piano streaming stations, I felt sort of like a fraud. I mean, this is the word that came to my head. I felt like a fraud, because these people, these artists that had their music on these stations, they composed it, or I didn't. I mean, a few people didn't, but for the most part, they composed it. So I decided I was going to show them that I could compose as well. And where I couldn't do anything before, I couldn't hear melodies, nothing would come to my head. I sat down at a keyboard, and about after two or three times, it just opened. And
no way.
It was just like,
Wow.
It was big, and it blew me away. And so I took my first piece that I composed like that. And that was When Leaves Dance. And I put together, the music just kept flowing, but I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea if anybody would like it, but I always like to market myself. So I marketed it and put an album out, and it just kind of took off. That's what I'm doing.
So right now, we're recording this in July 2019. How long ago was that where the dam opened and burst and you started creating?
2015, 4 years ago.
No kidding.
Because
go ahead.
My first album, Soul Whispers, came out in March of 2015. And I think it was like in May. It was 2 or 3 months later that I had composed When Leaving
Wow.
Dance.
Now, let's fast forward to today. How many CDs do you have out now?
Including Soul Whispers, the first one, mm-hmm. That was not my music, I have 4.
Wow. So
three of my own. Yeah.
So that's all. So you are writing and love your music. We feature it on the River of Calm, of course, and you have turned us on to a number of pianists. So that is really cool on that. Now, how does you're a busy girl. You have a day job too, do you not?
Yes and no. I have I'm self-employed in 2 different ways. One is that I'm a pianist and a composer, mm-hmm. but I also am a holistic health practitioner. Mm-hmm. And I specialize in what's called energy medicine. And I've been doing this for, 15, 18 years, a long time. I've been doing this but working out of my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I work through the internet and long distance and on via Skype and all that. But I've been doing that for a long time, but lately I'm putting much more time into my piano.
Understandable, but how do you juggle all that? You have a family, you have your other career than the piano career. And I see you from my seat here at the River of Calm, I see you. You are out there. You're pushing.
I'm always doing something, yeah.
Yeah, you are a hardworking girl, that's for sure. How do you have time? And where do you, first off, how do you find time to sit and quietly write? Or tell me about your writing process.
Okay, so up until recently, until very recently, what I have been doing is I have a keyboard that's now in my office, which mm-hmm. was my office that I did my healing work. But I have a keyboard there, and then I have my baby grand out in the living room. But
nice.
The quiet time is at night, so I'm not going to subject my neighbors to that. So mm-hmm. I would work with headphones and work on the keyboard at night and be up very, very, very late. And then when I go to really develop the piece, when it's like almost done or done, then I would go to the piano, because for some reason, when I'm composing on the keyboard versus the piano, there's a difference.
And there definitely is a difference. I agree.
There's a difference in the creative process. So I'll do as much as I can. I'll finish it on the keyboard, and mm-hmm. then I would go to the piano, and then I would hear something different. But just like last month, I decided, my family went camping, and I didn't go. So I had some quiet time. And I actually started composing during the day, and I've seen it's just big difference. Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Now, do you have an optimal time of the day or evening that you'd like to compose, or you feel that it flows the best?
I think, honestly, it flows the best during the day. But like I said, up until just like last month, it was always at night. And
right.
I'm a night owl for the most part. So I could be composing at 2-3 in the morning with not a problem. But the problem is that sometimes I'd finish a piece and I go to bed, and the next morning I look at it and then throw it away. Because, being so tired and so stressed, and you're pushing yourself. And I think the later I stay up, it's not always fruitful. Where during the day mm-hmm. it is, but I do have other things to do. I mean, the phone rings more during the day and other things happen more during the day. So it's sometimes hard to do that, but I'm trying to find a happy medium.
And you also have those authentic New York background sounds, like the sirens.
You hear that right
going
now?
On.
Yes. Well, I live in a really wonderful, I live in Brooklyn, and it's a really neat place. I live in a very Orthodox Jewish community, so it's a very tightly group, uh-huh. but we have some other ethnics and it's just a nice melting pot of people, and it's very noisy. And so,
I hear
it's not the sirens, it's other people doing other things. So it's another reason why a lot of times I will want to play at night. Sometimes I go to my piano and I can't here we had really bad windows where we live, and the sound comes in and the sound bounces off the wall, off the buildings. So sometimes I have to leave the piano because I can't hear myself play.
That's loud. That's for sure. Back up just a second, where you say you compose at night, you wake up in the morning and throw it in the trash. Have you ever had this happen? I'll be playing something on the piano and I'll have my little garage band recording the idea going along, and it feels so good. But when I listen to it, it's like, that really sucks.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
God. Now, tell me about your inner critic. Do you have one?
Of course. Of course. And yeah. I have been at odds with it for a long time. I'm now to the point where I accept it for what it is and who it is, because we're always going to we're always our own worst critic, most of artists. Mm-hmm. And I have not been composing for so long. I never expected to be a composer. So it took me up until probably a year or two ago before I could even call myself a composer.
So have you taken that monkey off your back called the imposter syndrome?
Is that what it's called? I have. I think so. Well, this is another hat. You know, it's another job, but I just didn't expect to. Through our lifetimes, we take different paths, and we don't always know the path we're going to take. So you go with the flow and take the path. So I didn't expect to be it, but at this time in my life, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I didn't expect. So as far as the inner critical voice, yes, there are times when this sounds really, really bad. This sounds like crap, you know. And I've been in music enough that I can look at it and say, yeah, it really does. Or, you know what, this is fixable. Or, yeah, I'm just being over the top and it really is not so bad. Also, I do have some friends two or three friends that I respect them for who they are as artists or performers. Mm-hmm. One's not an artist. And I will send my music to them and they will tell me.
Nice.
And, which is very helpful. And I've had them tell me before, this is not a great piece. And I'm going, but I want to do it anyway. And then I've gone to the studio and it's like twice, fourth I've done this. It's like, no, I got in the studio and did not use it because.
So that's cool that you have your own advisory board, that you have that level of comfort
input.
With.
I do.
Trust them.
I do. And like for this new album I'm working on now, someone said to me, it's too short. You need another section. And it's like, I can't think of anything else. And it did come. And I like it much more. You have to really pick who you're going to trust and listen to and know that everybody's going to like different things.
Right.
So it really helps to be able to bounce it off someone else. And I do this for other people as well. I've had people that send me something and say, what do you think? And I'm honest. Yeah, I'm very, very honest.
You're highly collaborative. I can tell you that. You really are in your whole process, in your being as a pianist, as I know you. So very cool on what you're doing. Now, with all of these songs that you have composed, and by the way, you are a composer, all right? So it's tough to pick, but if you have to pick a favorite song today, what
song is that? If I was to pick one piece, one composition, that would probably be Ethereal.
Ethereal, which is on the River of Calm. True. Two, and we will play it now. Let's take a listen to Shoshana, the composer and pianist, with Ethereal.
Thank you.
And that was Ethereal by Shoshana. Great job on that, Shoshana.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Now, where can we find your music?
Well, my music is just about everywhere. It is on my website, which is shoshanamusic.com. Mm-hmm. It's also iTunes and Amazon and Spotify and Pandora and Google Play for as long as it's still playing, and have Tidal and all the streaming stations. It's on all the streaming stations, and there's more and more things opening up all the time. It's also up in the air in certain airlines. I'm on Sirius XM. I have three. Very, very proud to have three of my tracks on Sirius XM, The Spa.
Nice.
And so, yeah, it really is. And I think just about anywhere. You can find it everywhere. That's just the magic and the wonder of the internet and all the streaming stuff that we can do now. So it's just about everywhere.
Let's talk the one important thing that I want to know. Okay, you're on all of these things. How many... Absolutely. Can you quantify how many playlists you are on right now?
I think over 1,000.
Oh my gosh.
I think I'm at over 1,000. I mean, I check my stats on Spotify, and I can't, they won't let me see all of them, but I have been on at least 1,000, at least. I don't know.
Now, is that from you doing outbound work to have that done, or is that from artists reaching out to you?
I don't have a lot of artists. I don't have curators. You're talking about the ones I'm on, not the ones that I've curated myself, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so
yes.
I'm in several different Facebook groups that support playlists. So on a few of them are really good ones. And we network and we support each other on our playlist. So that's part of it. I have just taken the initiative and tracked down curators. I spent a lot of time doing that. I have spent a lot of time doing that and have gotten on a lot of nice playlists because of that. But also, and it's kind of a catch 22, you have to be on a lot of playlists in order to get on a lot of playlists. So the more playlists you get on, then you catch Spotify's algorithms. So it's all algorithms. It's all, you know, computer stuff. It's not human. And I get put into people's peripheral visions, and people will make a playlist for themselves. So, I mean, I may be the only follower. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to follow every playlist that I'm on when I can find that. But maybe they're doing it because they want to sleep, or it's for their kids falling asleep, or for studying or something. Or they just like music, piano music, or whatever it is. So it could be just one person that's put it together, and it's not a lot of followers. And I get on a lot of lists like that.
I see. And then I want our listeners to know that, Shoshana, when you say you're active and reaching out, you are the bomb. You are the killer of all artists as far as being proactive. Oh, no. And I really admire that in you. I see all the lists you're on, and I'm going, oh my God, I can't keep up. How could I ever keep up with you? So you're amazing. You really are.
Oh, thank you. Well, there's this, you have to, nowadays you have to do that. Streaming is a big thing. So you've got to do that. How people find me for iTunes, like where they're downloading, I don't know how they find me. I really don't. Sometimes when people buy music to my website, I have a thing where it's like, where'd you find me? And sometimes they'll fill it out, and sometimes they'll say Pandora, or they've discovered me on Sirius XM or something like that. So I don't know if people are always finding me, but for streaming, like Spotify and all that, you almost have to be proactive. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere. And it's become a big thing. So a lot of people becoming proactive.
Proactive as opposed to passive, thinking it's going to come to you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There are some people out there that it will come to them. They're just that famous. And there are George Winston and people like that. I don't know how much they're promoting themselves on their own, but people know them. They're known. There's so many of us that, there's so many wonderful artists out there that people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So they
good point.
Yeah, you do have to promote yourself one way or the other.
All right. So let's take a big broad stroke look back at Shoshana. Let's go back to the accordion arriving at your door.
Okay.
The pizza parlors that you played. Knott's Berry Farm, yeah. which I still think is really cool that you did that. We were probably in LA at the same time, by the way.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. And now to the point, you know, you dropped the monkey of I'm not a composer to that you are a composer, and you have four CDs out and you're working on one.
Right.
With all of that big, broad stroke, can you tell me musically what you are most proud of?
You know, it's funny because the first thing that wants to come out of my mouth is that I'm composing, because I thought I couldn't, but that's not it. The thing I'm most proud of is that I am helping people. Because I'm not the only one that gets, a lot of artists get letters from people and get emails and messages that they've saved someone's life or this has helped them through something. And that is the best thing in the world, because in my opinion, the music is not about me. It's really not about me. And it's not, I feel it's a gift. And when you're giving a gift like this, you're supposed to do something with it. And
well said.
Yeah. And so I am the most proud of the fact that I'm able to take this gift and I'm able to enrich someone's life or make someone happy or whatever they need, that I can help somebody. And that's just to me the best thing in the world.
Well said. Well done on that. Now, with that, if you had one genie that in a magic accordion that would come out and give you one musical wish, what would your musical wish be?
My musical wish would be that people, well, it's not about me. I don't think it's about me. It would be that people would be able to get what music can do for them, be able to heal them, be able to bring peace to the world. That's healing, healing the world. That would heal the world. If I was a small part of it, of healing the world, that's my wish, that I'm part of that.
Nice. You've got that. You do have a healing touch to you. You really do. Mm-hmm. You're a killer with the promotion and curating and all that stuff, but you do have a very healing aspect about you. That's really cool. Hey, out of curiosity, what would you tell a young girl if she was, say, she came up to you and said, I'm interested in being a pianist? What would you say?
Go for it.
Yeah.
It's just being a pianist. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Learn as much as you can. And there's many ways of learning. And some people, I know a lot of phenomenal pianists that don't read a note of music. And if you don't have to do that, he says, however you can do it, you do it. Just listen, absorb, learn, give back, you know, and have fun. That's the thing. Have fun. And not to judge yourself. Not to judge yourself, not to think, as again, the monkey on the back type of a thing, that you're not good enough. Never compare yourself. That's a biggie. Never compare yourself to anything or anyone, because you need to develop your own talents and to be your own person. Never, ever compare yourself or think you're not good enough. There's no such thing as not being good enough.
Isn't that the truth? I always equate it to that we're all different flavors of ice cream, you know? And we're all have our own unique flavor, and, you know, and just be happy for the others that they have theirs. I couldn't play your style. I can't play Joseph Nemo's style, or, you know, so I hear you. Flavors of ice cream. All right. So wrapping this up, Shoshana, if you had one billboard that we could put across the country, all the way from Brooklyn, all the way to, was it Anaheim? Was that where Knott's Berry Farm is?
Anaheim is
Disneyland. Okay,
Anaheim is the rival, the rival park.
That's right. Sorry.
Southern California.
How
County.
About that? What would your billboard say? If you could say, post a message on a billboard that everyone would see across the country.
Listen and to heal with music. Or music is healing. it wouldn't be about me. Mm-hmm. I can't even think of anything for me.
And music is healing, by the way. And it's
music is extremely healing. Yes.
And powerful and evokes such depth. I went to a movie the other day and just heard a soundtrack of the Beatles. And I was like, oh my gosh, I almost was in tears. Just how that past music just brings out so much, you know,
music does. And so. Music doesn't, it can be very, in the background, and you don't even know it's there, but it enhances. And a quick story is, mm-hmm. I went to hear a organist. His name is Gaylord Carter. His name was Gaylord Carter, and I'm sure he's passed. He was probably in his 80s when I listened to him play. And he used to play during the day when they had silent pictures. And he was good friends with Buster Keaton, mm-hmm. and those people. I mean, he played back then. So he was giving a concert. I saw a couple concerts of his. And he starts on this big, beautiful organ. And he would explain the movie. Mm-hmm. And he would explain the bells and whistles on it. And he would explain all this. And then he would start playing, and you'd hear him play. And then the lights would go down, and the movie screen would come down, and you see the movie, and you would completely forget he was there. But if he wasn't there, wow. You would definitely know there was no music, because music can really mm-hmm. enhance so much, and you don't even know where it's enhancing you. You can feel better and not even know that the music did that. Or you can listen to something like Sammy Barber's Adagio mm-hmm. for Strings, where it just brings out emotion. And it'll bring something out in you, and mm-hmm. and oh. you didn't even know it was there. So music is just magical. It's magical. That would be on the billboard. Music is magic. Music is magical. Yeah.
I like that. Well, that's perfect. That's a perfect way to end this. And
thank you.
I'm just thrilled, Shoshana, to have you on here. You've been such a hard worker and such a proponent of the River of Calm and our mission to soothe the soul with music.
Thank
you so much for being on here. And there you have it, a behind-the-scenes look at pianist and composer Shoshana Michel on the River of Calm's Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. May the calm be with you.